Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Genesis 42, verses 18 to 28, and Galatians 5, verses 2 to 15. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, Christ is Enough.
Amen. So our first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 42, verse 18 to 28.
On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live. For I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here where you are imprisoned. The rest of you shall go and carry grain for the famine of your households, and bring your youngest brother to me. Thus your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they agreed to do so. They said to one another, "Alas, we are paying the penalty for what we did to our brother. We saw his anguish when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen. That is why this anguish has come upon us." Then Reuben answered them, "Did I not tell you not to wrong the boy, but you would not listen? Now there comes a reckoning for his blood." They did not know that Joseph understood them, since he spoke with them through an interpreter. He turned away from them and wept. Then he returned and spoke to them. And he picked out Simeon and had him bound before their eyes. Joseph then gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to return every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for their journey. This was done for them. They loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. When one of them opened the sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he saw his money at the top of the sack. He said to his brothers, "My money has been put back. Here it is in my sack." At this they lost heart and turned trembling to one another, saying, "What is this that God has done to us?"
Thank you very much. So our New Testament is taken from the epistle to the Galatians, an epistle that at St. James as a church we're actually exploring. So we are a bit further down the line than what we have on Sunday, but it is about circumcisions and what we've been exploring earlier in that book. So Galatians 5, verse 2 to 15. "Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testified to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You, who want to be justified by the law, have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith, working through love. You were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. Have confidence about you in the Lord that you will not think otherwise. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. My friend, why am I still persecuted if I'm still preaching circumcision? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettled you would castrate themselves. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So for me, two thoughts. First, as we are in the season of Lent, seasons to create space to be in the presence of God, to reflect on priorities in our lives, to see things that have kind of, what would be the right way, crouched in and been unhelpful, sometimes very harmful to ourselves or to our relationship with God or with others. And we do that some through fasting, whether they're fasting with food or stopping something specifically that they enjoy particularly, often chocolate or cake or alcoholic drinks, or whether it is through being more mindful and picking up some good habits, and habits of kindness and little act of kindness every day. And in the Church of England, I'm really impressed with the material they give with Draw Near and Everyday's Faith, I think it's called, the app, which really is there to create those habits that help us as followers of Jesus, the habit of gratitudes and thanksgiving, the habit of prayer, the habit of reading scripture as we do today, the habit of taking part in sharing the bread and the wine and reminding ourselves the heart of our faith, and the habit of service and of being a witness in words and actions. And thinking of communion, this is the passage that really speaks of the Christian faith. And while I think the context is quite different, we're not in danger in our church to want to be circumcised. I think even the concept would be quite foreign to most people in the Western world, would be well understood among our Jewish friends. But in the days of Paul, that was really at the heart of what the early churches was experiencing. They had discovered that Jesus Christ had fulfilled the law, that the law, as we looked in the church, the best picture was to think about a CT scan and an escort, and that the law actually was an instrument of God to limit sin among the Jews, to help the Jews be light and salt, show a different kind of way of living. But of course, it didn't solve the issue of our rebellion, our sin, our transgressions. It just make it clearer. It's only when we hear, "Don't do this," and that we realize we don't have the capacity not to do it, and then realize there is a force in us that although we might want to do what is right and good, we find ourselves limited in our own strength and in our own will. And so the law was this kind of CT scanner showing the problem, but it also was a kind of escort leading us to understand the work and the identity of Jesus. And that Jesus came to fulfill the law. He was under the law and he lived a righteous life, but he died an unrighteous death. He died our death on the cross. And so Paul was explaining, don't go back to the law. As Christian, your righteousness is found not in what you do, but in what Jesus Christ did on your behalf. And by trusting the promise, by trusting the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ, by trusting the grace of God, you are in the place to receive forgiveness and cleansing, something that the law and the sacrifice could never do fully and constantly. So he's very passionate in defending that and reminding, and I think the key sentence that I've been sharing in Sunday is Jesus plus nothing equal everything. So for today is to reflect, are there things we add to Jesus that endanger our faith? Sometimes we think, you know, unless you are baptized, you know, if you die, that's it. You've not been baptized. And although baptism is very important, of course, it's an external witness of what already has happened. Baptism doesn't save. And the same is not that being faithful to go on a Sunday or as a tradition. That's not what saves us. It's just a result of our faith. And so there might be many things that we as Christian need to be mindful not to fall in a similar kind of false gospel, and to remind ourselves that Christ is enough. Our faith in Christ is what makes us standing before God. And the rest is an outworking of our gratitude to God for that, our service, our prayers, and Paul kind of summarize it with that single comment, you shall love your neighbor or anyone else as yourself. And that's our call within the church at St. James, in our community, acts of love through the grace and the strength of God. We, again, it's not something we do in our own power, but as a reaction to maybe where God is leading us in service in our community. So good to be reminded, even if we're a bit further at Galatians 5 in the church. Yeah, and the first one for me in that period of Lent, I think actually I need to learn that psalm that we read together just by heart. It's such a powerful psalm. The reality of being crushed by sometimes the news, the sadness that's going in our world, and sometimes the reality in our own circumstances. But to remind ourselves, remind our soul, to put our trust in God's faithfulness.
Yes, a key verse for me in Galatians 5 is the where it says you were called to freedom, and use your freedom to love one another. And I, at the in the life group yesterday when we met, the I was really struck by the notes which were talking about various aspects of freedom. You know, that is the gospel, isn't it? And we also had a discussion about providing, you know, helping people to find faith through the church. And you know, that those people on my prayers this morning. So when people come through those doors, a lot of them are looking for faith, and some might be looking for companionship. Some might be feeling empty, but the role of the church is to help people to find faith, I think. And so that those people are on my prayers this morning, and that this year will be a start of a growth in the church, people coming through those doors wanting to find faith.
Thank you. Well, let's pray. So our discerning priority for this year is evangelism, and how we are growing in faithfulness and boldness, with sensitivity, but with believing that God longs to bring into his fold many here in our town. And so we need to pray for that.
Yes, Lord. We read in Psalm 42 the appeal, sustain us when our well runs dry. I think that was what it said. And Lord, my prayer today is for people to come into our church and find faith. Lord, you tell us, well, Paul tells us that we should use our freedom that we have in Christ to love one another. And I pray that as a body of believers, our congregation at St. James will indeed do that. Wherever people are at, however they come into through those church doors, I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us all to help other people to find faith and feel loved when they come into St. James. They will perhaps come in for many reasons, but I think it's my conviction that a lot of people come into church looking for faith who don't yet have one. And so I pray, Lord, that we would just be your instruments in this quest of yours to bring mankind back to yourself. Lord, you called out to Adam in the Garden of Eden, "Where are you? Where are you?" And Lord, that call has been echoing through history from the start of mankind, I feel. So Lord, just help us to help people answer that question, "Where are you?" Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.